back in the Mountain View Chevy studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. Tim DMs in that he has Titans tickets, season tickets. Only $80 per game? $80 per ticket per game for Titans tickets, and of course they compensate the players very well. So, I mean, like the ticket prices that go up in college football are just because people are greedy and they want more money. And they just want to – I guess they just know we're going to pay it, basically, right? Because if you're a Tennessee fan and you want to go to Auburn, if the ticket is 130 compared to 110, like is that much different?
No.
Is the extra $20 going to keep you from going to that game?
I don't think so.
Like, usually, like, how big does the discrepancy have to be for tickets? Like, do you ever not go over, like, $20, $30, $40?
No.
Now, granted,
I feel like 200 versus 100 would be enough to sway someone.
Yeah, I agree. And maybe it's a little bit different for families, right?
If you have to buy multiple.
If you're buying four tickets compared to two. Like, whenever I have to buy, at most, it's two.
I'd say once it gets over around 50, that would be a reason to not,
yeah,
you know.
So maybe in that issue, if you're planning on taking your family of four to Auburn, like the $130 ticket compared to $100 tickets, that adds up to $120. Maybe that's enough.
Yeah.
But like then you'll family, yeah. But then you'll tell yourself, oh, we only go to Auburn, you know, once every what, 6 or 7 years? Is it even that long? When's the last time we went to play in Auburn? How long has it been since we had a road game at Auburn?
The last road game at Auburn would have been 2010.
Oh, that was a terrible game. We lost like 17-9, right?
2011, maybe.
We went there with Dooley. I remember the one with Fulmer, like in the year we couldn't score any points.
Played him in 13, but that was in
that was at home. That was so awful.
Might have been like 08, 09.
I know the year that Tennessee's offense couldn't score at all. Was that we played at Auburn and we lost, like that was like the shortest game. It was like 2 hours for that game because neither one of the teams could score any points or pick up any first downs or do anything.
Yeah, I remember the game.
Like you don't get to go to Auburn very often. So like I don't know if that'll be enough to sway you $120. I don't know. For the most part, they know that Tennessee fans and college football fans in general in the SEC, very loyal. Spend, donate a large portion of their money to support their team. So like they can charge you $130 Tennessee to go play Auburn because, quite frankly, if you want to go to the game, you're still going to pay it. Do you have a number on that? Did you had something for me, Bentley?
Yeah, the last time we played Auburn in Auburn was 2008, and we lost 14-12.
Okay, yeah. So it wasn't even 17-9; it was 14-12.
Yeah.
I remember that game because it was the game I realized the out of bounds rule in college football. We're like, if you go out of bounds above 2 minutes, it doesn't stop the clock. Because we knocked an Auburn player out of bounds, or an Auburn player ran out of bounds when we were trying to get the ball back. But it was outside 2 minutes, so they kept winding the clock. And I remember I did not know that rule, and I was very mad about it. He went out of bounds like at 2:10 or something like that, just barely ahead of the 2 minute, requirement. And I remember I was very angry about it. Right now on ESPN.com, it's great. You know, any other day when it was a little bit slower, we would have hit this story off the top, at least in the second hour. But Chris Lowe has a piece up on ESPN.com about Jeremy Pruitt. Have you seen that? The headline is, or the title is, Tennessee's new coach isn't shying away from the challenge of rebuilding. There we go again, that R word. Rebuild. Rebuild.
In order to rebuild, wouldn't you have needed to have had something that was built already?
We had something built with Butch. Like I know it fell apart, obviously, but like I'll never admit that in 2014, after that year, that things couldn't have been drastically different here. Like I'll never get over that offseason because that was the one that like Michigan was apparently interested in Butch as like their fourth or fifth choice if Harbaugh turned them down. Like if Butch would have gotten hired away that offseason, I think Tennessee would be in a drastically different situation. Like if you could have, like the cupboard was stocked. That's whenever you knew that Josh Dobbs was going to be good, and you knew in 2015 you had the chance to do something special, and then you went out and hired Mike DeBoard. Right. Like, you could have went and got Sanford. You could have gotten Lincoln effing Riley to come in be your OC. And you went with Mike DeBoard. So, like, to say that it wasn't built up, I think, is incorrect. So it is a rebuild because, I mean, like, Butch did have the cupboard stocked with talent. Six guys went to the NFL.
Yeah, there was a time. It just never reached its full potential.
Things could have been so different. Even if you go hire somebody except Mike DeBoard, you know, instead of Mike DeBoard, who, you know, put up some good numbers at Tennessee but didn't have the creativity to overcome good defenses. I think back to that South Carolina game. But either way, Jeremy Pruitt's on ESPN right now talking about the rebuild and talking about striking out on recruiting, talking about going after the best players in the country, like how they're not kind of focusing on the South, how he's trying to go nationwide. You remember Tennessee struck out on both of them, but you had two big cornerbacks from California that Tennessee was trying. We got to have players. I don't have a Jeremy Pruitt impression yet. We got to have players, a sleep-deprived Pruitt told one coach as he scurried last minute to squeeze everything he could out of his first class. The coach responded, well, will you go to Arizona to get him? I will go to dadgum China for him if he's a player, is what Pruitt responded. I'll go to dadgum China if he's a player.
All right.
Says if we're not recruiting those players and getting those kinds of players, then we're not doing our job. You win with players, and it's not always the players rank the highest.
Right.
We're going to trust our evaluations and trust the connections and relationships we've cultivated over time as a staff. There are players out there.
Right.
You got to go find them. Sometimes they're the so-called tier two players, but most of the time they're the players Alabama's getting, the players Georgia's getting, and that's who we need to be battling against and winning our fair share of battles against if we're going to get this program where we all want it to be. All
right. What was it that wrestling fans used to do with Stone Cold?
What?
When he was.
What?
They kept saying, what?
And I hate it.
What?
I hate it.
What?
I hate it.
He could do "ite" with Pruitt.
Don't, because the "what" thing is my least favorite thing in wrestling.
All right.
It's carried on.
Like when Pruitt's giving a press conference.
Okay. You're not going to have.
Every time he pauses, look, you say,
I know Knoxville's a little bit weird because we have a lot of media that are also fans, but I don't need them leading a call, a chant back.
Oh, I don't want those weirdos doing it. There needs to be a designated fan in every press conference.
Hype man.
All right.
Tennessee struck out on Quay Walker, Jacob Copeland, Elijah Griffin, Isaac Taylor Stewart, Jordan Young, all those guys. Pruitt says, what you need is 15 guys that you beat Alabama and Georgia on instead of three or four. You need 15 of them, he says. And it's going to be hard to beat Alabama and Georgia. It's going to be hard to beat them for any guy. Like, who'd you beat Alabama and Georgia out with in this class?
No one.
No. Peterson. You beat them out for Peterson. You beat Alabama for Peterson.
The big lineman from Memphis.
You beat Alabama out on the tight end.
Yeah.
So you had
Dominic Wood Anderson.
Yeah. You had at least two victories, I know.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm sure they had offered. I don't know how big they were on. I'm sure they had offered the running back too from Memphis. I forget his name. No. What is he, like a 3-star? Corbin, is that who I'm thinking of?
I think he was a 4-star.
Yeah, I don't know if they offered him or not.
Micah Abernathy is quoted in this piece talking about him when he got recruited by Pruitt whenever he was at Georgia. He never told me I was going to come in and do this or do that when he was recruiting me. He told me I was going to come in and compete and told me what he was going to do to help me be the player I wanted to be. My brother also played college football, so I knew how to decipher what was real and what wasn't. Coach Pruitt was the most real coach that recruited me. We need a little bit of that of here. People are going to stand up straight and do it this way. I promise you that. You didn't go
That's
to Georgia,
encouraging.
Though. You didn't go to Georgia, though.
No,
Abernathy.
You got sold on Butch Jones.
Yeah, like, if he's the realest coach you saw, like, why'd you end up here?
He's totally going against what he did.
That's kind of weird, right?
Pruitt was the most honest coach who recruited me. But I really liked Butch Jones and what he was selling.
Chris Lowe asked Pruitt about staying at Alabama to finish out his tour there. He says, just as I will do here, I was going to finish what I started. Tennessee will get that same dedication. It's the way I believe in doing things. When you know, basically, going back to our conversation about the NCAA, right, with all this crooked cheating and in recruiting, Pruitt addresses that and talks about how they're not going to deal with handlers, recruiting handlers, forcing kids onto people and stuff like that. Being nice will get you fired, is a quote he has here. It's worth the read. I guess I read you all of his quotes that were worth. Pruitt talks about getting on Nick Saban's pickup basketball team because he went for every offensive rebound and every loose ball. Says that's how he first got noticed there because he was playing hard and pickup basketball. I don't know. It's up on ESPN if you want to read that. I'll tweet out the link on Fox Sports Knox's Twitter account. We will get to the phone lines after the break. We will, you know, Cody, we might have some time to squeeze in some power rankings. I don't know. Looking over what we have.
I was just Googling greatest cartoons of all time.
You could feel it coming, huh?
Getting excited about it.
You could feel that petering out, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You could feel that segment petering out as I just read you Jeremy Pruitt's quotes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm fatigued. I did too much yelling for like an hour and a half.
Yeah. Would we include Family Guy and South Park or just kids' cartoons?
Kids' cartoons.
Yeah, okay, good.
Kids' cartoons. Good. We'll get to the phone lines. We'll do abbreviated power rankings. Coming up next, stick with us to talk sports on Fox Sports Knoxville. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. John Calipari has released a statement. I have no relationship with Andy Miller or any of his associates. Neither my staff nor I utilized any agent, including Andy Miller or any of his associates, to provide any financial benefits to a current or former Kentucky student athlete. We will cooperate fully with the appropriate authorities. You believe that, Cody?
No.
Man, I kind of do, because if you're going to cheat, if you're Coach Cal, why the hell are you cheating for Kevin Knox?
Well, fair question.
Like, why are you helping Bam cheat? You know what I mean? Like, those guys are on the list of Cal's players. Kevin Knox probably somewhere in the middle. I'd say Bam probably somewhere closer to the bottom of that list. I mean, just in terms of, like, I don't know. I guess Bam was okay at Kentucky. I just feel like he was was he a lottery pick, late round, first round pick? I don't know. I just feel like Coach Cal's had a lot bigger fish at Kentucky. And this is what I kind of took away from that article, was that this last round gave a lot of the coaches some deniability. When you realize it's just dinner and these agents cutting loans out, like, I don't know how much trouble the actual institutions are going to get in outside of having to vacate wins. They might make them come in, vacate some wins. They might make some current players ineligible. If one school is rampantly overran, you might get some institutional control. But this last go-around kind of made me think that this is just going to be some vacated stuff. Let's go to the phone lines. Roger, what's up, man?
Oh, nothing much, John. How's it going, buddy, there, buddy?
Oh, hey. It's going good.
Going good? Cool. Cody, hey, buddy. How you doing, Cody, buddy?
I'm all right, Roger. Just getting ready for the weekend. You doing all right?
Oh, yeah. I'm fine.
That's
I'm
good.
I love weekends, you know. The best thing, you know.
Absolutely, man.
So I can't wait to come. And I never find this one to ask you about in tomorrow and about football. Wanted to ask you about so how you think that I know about Ole Miss tomorrow at their place. What I ask you is because you don't know what you're going to get from Tennessee every day. Every game is difficult. We're going to play good, and so that's why I asked you. You think Tennessee played good tomorrow? Ole Miss.
Appreciate the phone call, Roger. Tennessee is going to play fine against Ole Miss. Ole Miss isn't very good. Ole Miss is a bad basketball team. Tennessee, maybe not playing their best basketball right now, but they're still better than Ole Miss. I'd be shocked if Tennessee – a bracketology update right quick, Cody. Can you look up Jerry Palm? Because I think he moved Tennessee up to a 3 seed. Not only a 3 seed, but the highest 3 seed.
Jerry Palm right now has Tennessee as a 3 seed, playing the 14th-seeded Rider team.
And has that in what region?
Whatever that is. It's in the East, Villanova's region. Theoretically would play the winner of 6-seed TCU and 11-seed Utah.
What region was that again? Sorry.
The East. It's a tough region. Villanova's the one, Duke's the two.
All right, so that'd be back up in Boston, huh?
Yeah.
Duke was the two?
Yeah, playing in Dallas first against Ryder.
Maybe without Wendell Carter. I'd like to see Duke in the Sweet 16. That'd be fun. That'd be fun, especially if you're going to tell me it's in Boston and not like in anywhere near
Durham.
Yeah. Yeah.
Raleigh.
Yeah. Usually that's just the first round venues that they always get to play in. But I would like to see Duke in the Sweet 16. That'd be fun.
Ryder is called the Bronx, short for Broncos, not like Bronx in New York. B-R-O-N-C-S. They are the second highest scoring team in the country, by the way. So.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds like they got some pretty good guards.
That's dangerous.
Yeah. That's not really the 14 I want to run into.
I don't know what's more dangerous for Tennessee. Like, you asked, that was a really good question you asked Grant Ramey yesterday about, like, you know, what's going to be Tennessee's biggest matchup issue.
Thanks.
That's a great question. And I don't know if I'm more afraid of good guard play or just like having really long athletic big men, because we've seen Grant Williams get really hurt by that, right?
Yeah.
Like you saw what Georgia did to them with some long athletic big men.
Alabama was kind of a combination.
Yeah, Alabama was a combination. What happened.
Biggest beatdown of the year. That was just a bad day.
Good thing it never happened, because Colin Sexton is ineligible in my mind, even if he paid back his dinner.
That's true.
Sox and TM points out Bam was the last lottery pick at 14 last year. I remembered that because I got to thinking, drafted by the Heat. The Heat lost on a tiebreaker to miss out on the playoffs. I just couldn't remember if maybe they had gotten a first-round pick from somewhere else. So I guess Kevin Knox, the top 10 pick, around like 10, 11, somewhere around there. And Bam was a 14th overall pick. Point still remains. Like that does put them to the middle to bottom of Coach Cal's recruits. Coach Cal doesn't care about the last pick of the lottery. Coach Cal's worried about the number one overall pick. You got your power rankings. You're still wanting to do these, aren't you?
Yes, I do have them. I feel strongly about them.
I'm gonna let you do them. I don't even have my list ready. I don't. I'll try to put something together as this song plays and as you get ready.
Okay.
I'm gonna try to participate. Hit the music.
You sound real excited.
No, I'm good. I'm trying. I'm exhausted. I tired myself out. An hour and a half's all I got in me. After that, I'm hurting. My mouth's dry.
We should have just took off at noon today.
Tongue sore. Like I've just been talking for too long. I need some water. I need to rejuvenate. I'm going to get fired up about these. I got to find some. I wasn't a big cartoon guy, I'll be honest.
It's surprising.
Why is that surprising?
I don't know. I mean, every kid likes cartoons, don't they?
Yeah, I guess it is surprising. All right, hit the music. Rankings. Rankings. Go, go, power. Rankings. I need more than power. Rankings. All right, Cody, I have a couple questions. I need some guidelines.
Okay.
When you say children's cartoons, like what age are we talking about?
That you would watch up to the age of 12.
12?
Yeah. So the kind of teen tunes would count too, like the Ed and Eddie, stuff like that. Never liked that show, but Powderpuff Girls, if you like them, they would count. No animated adult shows though. No Family Guy or South Park.
Do you consider King of the Hill an adult show?
Yeah, I don't think you can have King of the Hill.
Okay, glad I clarified.
The Simpsons, I think you got to clear that out.
Okay, I knew the Simpsons wasn't the same. I guess King of the Hill right along that same.
I'm thinking Nickelodeon or Cartoon Network.
I got you.
But no Adult Swim.
I got you.
Okay, I'll go first. Number five for me, Hey Arnold. Really like that show. All their weird shaped heads. Helga Pataki. I mean, what a
Pataki.
Pataki. Yeah. Oh,
put some respect on her.
Either way,
please.
She sucked. She was always giving him a hard time. Mm-hmm. You know, there's the kid with the glasses. She's always punching him in the face. Her and her big ugly unibrow. She never a fan of Helga. She really made life difficult for people on that show.
Yeah.
Pataki. Doesn't matter.
Put some respect on her name, please. It's Helga Pataki.
But I'm going.
It was Helga Pataki. Put some respect on her name, please.
All right, Mr. King of pronunciation. Number four.
I'm just trying to get into the segment for you. I'm trying to force it.
Number four, I'm going.
That's how I get my juices rolling, is by yelling at you, okay?
I know. I'm trying to give you some time. I've
got mine ready.
I'm
ready to go. I'm ready
to
go.
Give you time to get your list.
I'm ready.
If you give me time to get through it here, maybe I could. Okay, number four. Garfield and Friends.
Garfield.
We talked about Garfield the other day. You don't like Garfield? What's wrong with Garfield?
You know, I
really related to Garfield.
You know, every now and then people will put stuff on the internet that makes you think, right?
Yeah.
That one about Garfield and Mondays, that one kind of made a lot of sense to me. Have you seen that one going around this week?
No.
Have you noticed the trend of, like, you know, like when women will post thirst traps on the internet and they'll say something like some caption like, tell me what's on your mind or something. And then people will just go something really random or depressing.
Yeah.
There was one about Garfield that kind of depressed me. It's like, owner had to leave to go to work, and Garfield was too proud to admit how much he loved his owner. And I started thinking about my dog at home, and I'm like, wow, does he get sad when I have to leave? He probably is really sad, huh?
I was ready for school. My dad would take me to school. We'd always stop at this place to get donuts. I had these, like, donut holes I always got, this local place. I always remember, those are the two things, my morning routine. I remember waking up and watching Scooby-Doo for like 30 minutes. So, good memories there. Number two, SpongeBob. SpongeBob was one you could enjoy all the way through childhood and then, you know, your teen years. I still watch SpongeBob, if it's on and I don't have anything better to do.
Grow up.
You know, I'll eat a bowl of cereal and watch some SpongeBob.
Grow up.
SpongeBob, great show. Great show. Legendary show. Number one for me, because it was my favorite as a kid, I remember that it was my favorite as a kid. I wouldn't have it number one now, but because of back then, Rugrats. Rugrats was my favorite. I liked their movies when they went to Paris.
Yeah.
I liked the, Phil and Lil, the twins, they did their thing. Tommy Pickles. Tommy was my favorite. I used to have a doll, like a Tommy Pickles doll. And I remember people making fun of me. They would give me crap for it because I had a doll.
Yeah.
But I loved Rugrats so much, so I had Tommy Pickles.
I'll blow through my five, not as much analysis, because I'm an adult now, but five, Gargoyles. I used to love Gargoyles.
I did, too. I like that.
I used to love Gargoyles. That's my number five. Number four, Pinky and the Brain. Well, what are we going to do today? Same thing we do every day, take over the world. They never got to actually take over the world, but I appreciated their effort. Number three, I got to go with Hey Arnold. Hey Arnold, move it, football head. Had a cool black friend, Gerald. That was a good lesson as a kid, seeing some diversity. Hey Arnold was diverse.
Showed you how mean women can be.
It didn't represent Helga very well. You're right. It did not represent Helga very well. But, you know, it really showed that she actually loved Arnold the whole time. She just didn't know how to control her emotions. She had that whole shrine for him in her closet. She actually loved him, but she didn't know how to control her emotions. Unlike the queen.
She's a maniac.
Unlike the queen, the goddess, Patty Mayonnaise. Oh, love Patty Mayonnaise. Putting Doug at number two. Doug comes in at number two, And number one, same, Rugrats. Although, towards the end, I always pretended like I just watched it because my sister liked it, because she was a little bit younger than me.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, we could put it on, sure, if you want to watch. I'm okay with it.
They had such good characters.
But secretly, I wanted to watch it too, but I just couldn't admit it because I was getting too old. Like the Rugrats movie? Really? We have to go see that? I guess. And then really, I was really excited for the popcorn and Rugrats.
Really enjoyed it.
Yeah. When they went to Paris, by then I was a little bit too old. And I was like, okay, I guess I'll go this one more time.
Then you fell in love again.
And that song, Take Me There, I Want to Go There, great song. Still think about it. You remember that one from the movie? Take me there, I want to go there. Take me there, let's go there. Take me to that great place where fun never ends. Last call on the program as we get you to the weekend, or at least a little bit closer. Through your lunch break of the weekend? If you go back to work after your lunch break, you really only have like 2 or 3 hours left, right? It's fun. We got you to the weekend.
Just take the afternoon off.
We'll end this show by pumping the brakes or keeping rolling. Cody, you want to go first or second? First? Great. Okay, up. You're up.
All right. New Jersey Archbishop weird tweet.
I tend to just stop on all the first stories so that we can ease into this. So I'm not really interested in this, so I hope it's really good.
It is really good. That's why I put it first. The full tweet said, this is all I tweeted, supposed to be airborne in 10 minutes. Nighty-night, baby. I love you.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Sometimes it's better if you just don't explain it, because he gave an answer on why the tweet. Obviously, it was supposed to be a text. He accidentally tweeted it, which, first of all, I don't understand how that happens. Like, that is a mistake fairly commonly made, and I don't know how you accidentally tweet something that you're supposed to text. Makes no sense to me. But,
well, back in the day, it did, because you would text a number to tweet. Like, some people still use that function.
Do they really?
Yeah. Like, whenever I put the story up, you know, breaking news, being the big J I am about Neyland's renovations, right?
Yeah.
Someone was talking about the updated Wi-Fi and the updated, fiber optics and all that stuff. And someone's like, I get all my tweets off as it is because I still use the text to tweet.
I didn't know you could do that.
Number. So, like, you text it and they just tweet it for you. And, like, if you're ever in a place with bad internet service, just do that. And it gets
if you
got to
get those tweets off.
Sometimes you got to get those tweets off. And during the game is really one of the times where you got to get those tweets off.
Well, sometimes I think it's best for a spokesman just not to say anything, because once he explained it, the New Jersey Archbishop said that it was an errant message intended for his sister. He accidentally said, "Nighty night, baby, I love you," on Twitter. It was supposed to go to his sister. To me, it's a weird text to send to your sister.
It's almost worse. You should just admit that you were accidentally talking to your mistress.
If you call your sister baby, it's a little weird in my opinion.
Yeah, no, it is. You just got to come out, no, I was talking to my mistress. Even if you were really texting your sister, you got to make something else up.
The Archbishop's spokesman made it even worse. He said he has 8 younger sisters and, quote, they're all his baby sisters. So he calls them baby.
That's creepy.
Yeah, it is.
Have you ever seen Semi-Pro?
Yeah.
Where they're all sitting around the table and
Will Ferrell, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The basketball movie, and he calls him a jive turkey, and then everybody takes that as the most serious like insult ever.
Yeah.
He's like, no, he called you something, and then says something way worse. Like, no, he's definitely saying that. He didn't call you a JT.
Sometimes it's best to not try to explain it.
Just go with something worse. It was a mistress. I was not talking to my sister and calling her baby, because that's really weird.
Yeah.
Really creepy. You know what, Cody? I'm glad I stopped on that story.
Well, good.
Good job by you.
Glad I can make your day.
A 91-year-old man leads cops on police chase.
These are always good stories.
And it's also going to scare you because this 91-year-old man led the cops on a 15-mile police chase because he thought they were snow trucks.
He thought they were snow
trucks. He says they say he mistook their blue lights and siren for a gritty lorry, whatever the hell that means. Granddad Gordon Lee was clocked hogging the middle lane, and officers did a check on his registration to find he had no insurance or license. They put on their flashing lights and siren, but he failed to spot them even when they pulled up alongside his Ford Fiesta.
You know, we were talking about old folks earlier. Maybe there's a certain age where you shouldn't be allowed on the road anymore.
Yeah. Talking about respecting elders, how about we get these jerks off the road or make them, at the very least, make them do driving tests every 2 years? Once you get past the age of what? What age should we set? 70?
75.
I feel like at 70 you should have to start. I feel like you should have to get a check back up at 65, 70, and then 73, and then 2 years after that every year.
Respect your elders. Respect my damn interstate. Respect my highway system.
When he gets pulled over, he asks, "What have I done?"
Half the time, I don't know what I'm doing. Made me think of, what is that movie?
Have you seen the gritting
campaign?
The big gritting snow truck? It's yellow and it looks a lot closer to a school bus than a cop car.
That's pretty close.
Every 2 years after a certain age, we got to get these guys back in doing driving tests. We can't have this 91-year-old out here driving on the road, especially with no insurance. Although this guy, I guess it wouldn't have mattered when you're talking about car control, because it wouldn't have mattered because your boy didn't have insurance or a license. He was still out on the road regardless. Gotta take cars away from everybody so he can't get his hands on one. Because he didn't have the license or insurance. Great grandkids. That's how old he is.
Yeah, he was old 30 years ago. That's how old he is.
He would have... Like I say, he didn't have a license, so maybe it wouldn't have mattered. But he would have had to go take his driving test if we did the every 2 years method we have, like 24 times. That's how old he is.
Very, very old man. I got a lot of good stories here, and I'm probably only going to have time for one more. I guess I'll try this one, see if you like it. School bus fire allows students to miss class. They see me rolling. A good story. Students walk out of West High School, local.
Pump your brakes, kid.
More than 100 students this morning walked out of class over at West. That's just right next door, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right now, or earlier today, to hold a protest against gun violence. They were yelling, quote, "Put the guns down." They just all walked out of class, about 100 of them. So we could have heard them, maybe. I mean, we're really close to West.
You said you got more stories. Give me one more. You said you had so many. Give me one more.
President Trump wants a rating system for movies.
For movies? Okay, yeah, I want to hear this. Stop. Stop.
For movies and video games, quote from President Trump, "You see these movies, they're so violent. And yet a kid is able to see the movie if sex isn't involved, but killing is involved. And maybe they have to put a rating system for that."
Oh, I thought you meant like ratings, like whether or not the movie's good enough. He didn't know we already have rated R and PG-13 movies?
Apparently it slipped his mind.
What else to say? That'll do it for us today. Clay Travis up next. Russell Smith, the Drive Guys, will be out live at National RX. Go by and see them. Overtime from 6 to 8. Stay locked in right here on Fan Run Radio.